We are going to watch O-Dog, and he just acknowledged a minute ago he didn't go to school for this, but we are going, Craig, to get schooled by the O-Dog.
Here's what I would say to you. It's always an interesting perspective, okay? Because, you know, Steve has obviously been a manager. To try to go back in time and try to give a perspective of what was going on at the time. So that's what it is. I mean, nobody's accusing Steve Phillips or anything. This is just background now.
No, he's one of our good buddies. We love him to death. So we're going to have some fun with this. But the background essentially is this, is that the Mets signed Bobby Bonilla to a massive contract after the 1991 season. So the Pirates lost two key players, Bonilla after 91, Bonds after 92 to San Francisco, and the Pirates kind of fell apart at that point. But there were some things that went on with the Mets, and Bobby Bonilla ended up with what essentially was a lifetime contract, where he's been out of baseball for 15 years now, at least, maybe even more.
Financially.
And he's still on the Mets docket.
Your guy on?
Just joined us now. Steve Phillips joins us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Steve, I'm stepping aside, because Larry King wants to have a conversation with you, so take it away.
Steve, what the hell did you do with Bobby Bonilla? How'd that happen?
Oh, listen, it's a tremendous story in that...
I want to hear it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We were going to release Bobby Bonilla, and rather than doing that, what we set up was the possibility of deferring his payments out. And Bernie Madoff, you've heard about the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. Well, Bernie Madoff was the investment vehicle for the Mets. And so effectively what we did at the time is ownership said, go to the accounting department, find out if we were to defer money, how far out we could defer the money and what percentage rate we could put it out at. And if we did it, then if the market does a certain amount, are we able to make money on his money? And lo and behold, Bernie Madoff was the reason why we did the Bonilla lifetime annuity, because the way they did the projections on the money, they were going to pay him out like $30 million a year, like 12 years after he was released, or, you know, $1 million a year for 30 years, but they were going to make another $30 to $40 million on his money in addition to paying him. So it was a Madoff scheme investment vehicle that led to that. Now Jim Duquette, you know, laying me out like that, it's pretty interesting.
But let's hear the Jim Duquette horror story now.
So here's the thing. So I get, you know, listen, Mets fans kill me for trading Scott Kazmir to the Tampa Bay Rays. I was fired a year and 2 months before that deal was made. Like, I'm celebrating the fact, listen, I was fired. I wasn't there when they made that trade. And so, Mets fans still blame me for the Kazmir trade that I had nothing to do with.
Oh, yeah. Was that the Victor Zambrano acquisition?
Yes. And Bartolome Fortunato. Don't forget about him as well.
Well, him. Exactly. Jeez. Well, there you go. So, do you know what the deal is with Bonilla now? Because obviously the Madoff thing has fallen like a house of cards, and that happened years ago. Is Bobby just out his money?
Oh, no. He's the Mets are on the hook for it, regardless.
Okay.
However it was invested, the Mets are on the hook to pay it. So he's getting his, every July 1st, he's getting his check. He works for the Players Association right now. I can't imagine he's drawing much of a salary because he doesn't really need it. But he draws his check every July 1st, and the Mets are obligated to come up with the cash to be able to make that work. And there's some part of that where people get worked up about the Mets' payroll in New York not being as high as it should. But they, in a lot of ways, are trying to protect and they know they need to have that cash flow available. So part of their hesitation to spend a lot more money is they know they're paying $1 million a year out to Bobby Bonilla. So, yeah, you know, the Mets got hit hard with that, and really hard, like really, really hard. And I remember when I was with the Mets, they actually asked me at the time, they said, well, listen, at some point, you know, get some money saved, we can get you an account with Bernie. And I asked Mr. Wilpon, I said, Fred, how is he smarter than everybody else? Like, why don't people just look at his investments and try to duplicate what he's doing? He said, well, he keeps everything really close to the vest. This guy's a brilliant guy. He ran the stock exchange, president of the stock exchange, brilliant guy. And here's the thing, Fred Wilpon, once he vetted you, he loved you. Like, you were his guy. And he never once ever thought, doubted, or assumed that there was anything going on with it. And they got absolutely burned. And I think for the Mets, the loss of the, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars was one thing, but the betrayal in that was just as painful for Fred Wilpon, because, you know, he he thought Bernie Madoff was one of his best friends.
With Steve Phillips, a TSN Blue Jays and MLB insider. So, I mean, let's try and play the projection game, Steve, for the year ahead. And because the Blue Jays are in the American League, we'll focus on the AL. Of the five available playoff spots, so AL East, AL Central, AL West, and the two wild card spots, how many of those spots, in your mind, are already locked in?
Well, I feel like my predictions, not to give those up too early, but you know, I would have the Yankees, Astros, and Indians winning divisions. I think they're the three best teams, and there's a separation there. I think the two wildcard spots are open. Now, the Red Sox, I thought, might have a bit of separation, but they've got some major starting pitching problems right now. They've got Drew Pomerantz has an elbow issue. Eduardo Rodriguez has a knee issue. He's not back. Stephen Wright's not back. So they really have some health issues in that rotation, and they don't have any room in the budget because they do not want to go beyond the $237 million payroll because they'll lose draft picks, they'll lose international signing bonus money, they'll pay 92% tax on the money over the $197 million tax threshold. So they've got about a $5 million wiggle room with additions during the course of the season. So I think the Red Sox fall back to the pack. So I think three of the five are pretty much accounted for because I think those three teams are the class of the American League. And then you've got probably about six teams fighting for those other two wild card spots.
Do any of the minor-ish injuries that the Blue Jays have suffered here in spring training so far give you pause for concern?
No, I think they still are what they are. Now, they've built in some depth, and I think it was the right thing for Atkins and Shapiro to do. So, you know, getting Jervis Solarte, getting Elidmas Diaz, getting Gifton Gope, and protecting that middle infield was important, right? Because Tulowitzki and Travis are two of the most unpredictable players there. Everything else, I think they're okay. I mean, Stroman, you know, every indication that he's going to be just fine, that it's some inflammation, but nothing major. So I think that they're going to be okay right now. But like many of the other teams fighting for those wild card spots, you know, they don't have tremendous depth. You know, they don't have great depth in the bullpen. They're going to have some guys bounce back a bit and or step forward in the outfield. But all of those teams fighting for wild card spots are kind of the same team, just with slightly different configurations.
As the general manager, Steve, wouldn't you, because I do this as kind of a baseball fan, maybe a fan of the Jays, how the hell do you show up after 4 months and you're hurt? Isn't that weird to you?
Yeah, I don't get it. Here's the thing. When I was general manager, when I was farm director and assistant general manager, I would think to myself, how is it possible that there could be a surprise in spring training? We're paying hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, the Jays are paying $20 to Tulowitzki. How the hell does this guy show up with a bone spur that nobody knew about it? Or what? I don't understand it.
I will tell you, and it happens in almost every organization. What I did is I would send out my trainers to different regions of the country, and I would make every player show up and go through a workout so that we'd be able to monitor where they are, what's going on with the health and everything else. Now, a lot of times guys have these sort of slow, nagging things, and they think, it'll go away. I just strained something here and there. And then you find out that it's a bone spur that maybe if you're taking care of it in November, it wouldn't be an issue today. But it's in every camp. I mean, you got Ryan Healy for the Seattle Mariners. They traded for him at first base. He's got a bone spur in his hand. They had to deal with that. Chapman, the third baseman for Oakland, got something going on with his hand. I don't get it. Last year the Mets had Noah Syndergaard show up with 17 pounds of muscle on him because he thought his goal for the year would be to throw harder than the year before when he already had the highest average fastball of any starter in the big leagues. And that's flawed thinking. That can't happen. And so I agree with you, but it happens more often than not. In just about every camp, there's some surprise. Like, guys show up out of shape, and I'm thinking, how is this possible? If we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, let's spend $30,000, which is a spit in the ocean, to go around and check on them, work out with them, and make sure they're doing the right things.
I agree, Steve. You should always show up in shape. You're talking to a guy that led the team in body fat percentage almost every year.
The highest or the lowest?
Well, I'll leave that for you to figure out.
Steve, with Tulowitzki, I mean, this is going to sound cynical, but I'm going to throw it out there. And I mean, it's not going to happen, but I'm still going to throw it out there. These contracts have a tendency to be covered by insurance in the case of injuries, and I don't have the information in front of me to know the exact situation regarding Tulowitzki, but I mean, it gets to a point at some point where you can't buy this guy out because he's guaranteed $58 million over the next 3 years, but you got to move on at some point.
Yeah, you got to make him go away somehow.
Like, I just, because it's not just that he's hurt, it's just I don't see that there's a lot there that's left to give.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. I think he could still be a functional player, but the injuries, you know, to plan on him. And I think that Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins have it right. They know that they can't plan on Travis and Tulowitzki as everyday players anymore. You know, the insurance that players have, long-term disability insurance, you know, are typically there's a deductible that is you've got to be out for 90 days. Before you can start to cash in on it. You might have to be out for a year. You know, the policies have changed so much since Albert Bell collected way back in the day with the Baltimore Orioles, and then after 9/11, the disability insurance claims and policies changed rather dramatically. And oftentimes, they have exemptions. So for a pitcher who has an elbow injury, you know, say a guy had Tommy John, and then you sign up, you know, 2 years later, he's healthy pitching, you sign up to a long-term contract, you try to get disability insurance, you can get it, but the elbow is exempt. So if the elbow flares up and is injured again, you're not covered under the policy. And so with Tulowitzki, the question is, would his hamstrings be covered as they've been hurt so much in his career? You know, how would that all fall into place? I had Mo Vaughn, who had the knee injuries, and he ended up retiring, and we collected the insurance on that, and it was huge for us. On the other side of it, David Wright is still desperately trying to get back out on the field for the Mets. They're getting, what, I think 60 cents on the dollar, and they've got to be thinking to themselves, please don't get healthy. And it's a horrible thing to say, but you know, he can't stay healthy. But if he comes back and plays, it resets the clock on the deductible, and they lose out on being able to get reimbursed, you know, 60 cents, 70 cents on the dollar. So it's always a challenge when you get veteran players, and that's the risk. And that's why we saw teams this year avoiding giving guys 6-, 7-, 8-year contracts and not trying to pay players until their mid to late 30s because they don't want to get burned, just like, you know, some teams are getting burned right now.
Last one for you. What is Jake Arrieta's and his agent Scott Boras's MO as we sit here today? Take us behind the scenes as best you can. What are they waiting for?
No idea. I honestly think that Scott Boras had a really tough offseason because he's misread the market. He's poorly advised players. I mean, Arrieta, I thought, was, you know, he's in the Yu Darvish market. He came out saying that he was a $200 million pitcher. Darvish signed for $126 million, and now Arrieta, he chased everybody away. And now they're looking at it saying, all right, 3 years, maybe. He just turned 32 today. It's his birthday. So 3 years, maybe 4 years. I don't know what they're waiting for, because here's the thing. If I have a pitcher who gets hurt and he can't come back to the end of April or mid-May, I'm not going to say, oh, well, then you know what? Let me go ahead and give a 5-year contract to Jake Arrieta. I mean, you don't make that decision based upon a guy who's got a sore shoulder in spring training. You make that decision because you want to make a long-term commitment to a player. If he doesn't have that offer yet, it's not coming. I think he's waiting for the Washington Nationals to bail him out or for somebody to get hurt. But what he's doing, he's killing Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb because they're the fallbacks for the teams waiting for Arrieta, but none of those teams want to go after Plan B and Lynn or Cobb because they think if they do, they might end up getting Arrieta at the same price. And so those two guys are, I mean, their agents have to be calling Scott Boras saying, would you please just make a decision so we can get on with this too because we want to go out there and play and get on with our lives. It's crazy.
Great stuff, Steve, as always. We'll talk next week, I'm sure.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks.
That's Steve Phillips, TSN MLB and Blue Jays insider. He joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca.